Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 133, for March 24th, 2009.
The Big Mo.
MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/MacBreak. And by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. And by GoToMeeting. Online meetings made easy. For a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting for your PC or Mac, visit GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the happy place we all go to talk about Apple stuff. In studio with me today, I'm very happy to say, Justine is Eric. It's good to have you here.
Yes, I'm excited.
Whenever Justine's in town, she makes her way up the long Highway 101 corridor. It's a long drive.
It is a long drive.
I thank you for doing that. You made Dane do it.
He drove.
Also here, Mr. Andy Inatko in Muley's Workshop. Hello, Muley.
Hello, I'm Old Muley. I'm a trademark character that will soon become the latest internet video sensation. Now, we've yet to monetize the Muley concept, but I'm offering all the sponsors of this show to come on board onto the ground floor and allow me to upgrade from the no-name bologna to the store brand ham at the deli counter. That's really the goal for the show. Also to educate, inform, entertain, but chiefly, I'm tired of generic.
He's doing it for the boar's head.
So, let's that's not in the quarter one actuals, but we're hoping by second year profitability.
Also with us, Mr. Scott Bourne.
Hello, you know, I just don't have anything to compete with Muley's Workshop, but I am wearing my Hawaiian shirt in celebration of the sixth day in a row of a high here in Gig Harbor of 41 degrees.
Oh man, it's cold.
Yeah.
Oh man, how do you do it?
Well, when I went to the bank yesterday wearing the typical Tommy Bahama uniform, the bank teller looked at me and said, "You're optimistic."
The ever optimistic Scott Bourne. So, kids, what's in the news? Because I haven't noticed a lot of Mac stories. What's going
tons
on?
Tons of Mac news. Tons of Mac news. Well, you know what? I think everybody, despite how you may or may not feel about this, the Mac heist thing tonight at 8 p.m. is a big deal.
Well, I was interested to see the name brands that they've got doing that. They've got Bettany, Veronica, and Chris Perillo hosting that tonight, like it's some sort of award show.
I have no idea. I got the email. I was like, what is this?
Why didn't they ask you?
I don't know, but it looks very cool.
Have you done that? You did the Mac Heist thing once, no?
No, I never done have. That? Nope.
So what is it that they do, Scott?
Mac Heist is, we don't know. This is the first time they've ever done something quite like this. They're going to do it live on the internet and such a way that everybody's going to find out what the bundle consists of. But we all know how they kind of work.
Philip Brieux is a hell of a marketer, isn't he?
Oh, it's an incredible marketing system.
He's made this a massive story.
Yeah.
Even though it really isn't, I mean, they're announcing what their bundle's going to be?
Yeah, here's the thing. It's marketing 101. Anticipation and things that lead to urgency and exclusivity are triggers for almost every human being. We all want something special, unique, powerful. So this is a wonderful marketing ploy. And I have to say that looking at past bundles, there's some good deals. Now, the real controversy, of course, comes because some people don't feel that the developers are getting paid enough. However, the developers are all over 18, as far as I understand, and making decisions of their own free will to participate. So I say bah humbug.
Yeah, a year ago, we spent a lot of time talking about this. We talked to some developers who thought it was a bad idea for developers, particularly Rich Siegel of Barebones Software. And then the week later, we had Philip and some of the others from Mac Heist come in and a couple of their developers. I can't remember who it was.
Well, Well, aren't the apps only available for certain times? So then after that...
No, they're supposed to be. Well, see, that's an interesting... You mean, are they like limited editions?
See, I'm not sure. I've never really participated in the heist.
I think they're full versions.
No, I mean, I think they're full versions.
Oh, yeah, they're full versions.
Aren't they just available for download or purchase for a certain limited time? Correct?
Well, this is what they did last year is you bought a bundle, right? Mm-hmm. And the bundle gave, you know, for a $69, you got hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. And what you have to do is look at what the bundle is, and are there programs in there that I need that I would buy otherwise, and it'll save me money. The problem is it's kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some interesting stuff, some stuff that's less interesting.
Yeah, I
think Justine, is your question though that doesn't last forever? I mean, you have so many days to buy.
Yeah.
Like it's a limited time offer.
Yeah, of course.
So I mean, if people like these apps, like I think it's a great promotional tool for a lot of these developers who otherwise wouldn't get their name out there, and nobody would even know about it.
And they're doing they're basically piggybacking on really good marketing. You know, I mean, that's the key to the whole thing. Look at this. Join us live. It's if you go to macheist.com. Join us live. If I were Perillo, I'd be a little hurt because they've got Lisa and they've got Veronica. I don't see a picture of Perillo there.
He was on the email. I saw him.
Yeah, no, I know he's going to be there, but in the webpage, they only show... Oh, wait a minute. Maybe he's underneath this thing. He's underneath this thing. Okay, I got to get rid of it. I see. They've hidden his face under this drop-down.
Oh.
I can't get the drop-down off of... I'm pretty sure that's Perillo under there.
Yeah, under the drop-down.
He's under the drop-down.
It looks like a teaser for some sort of like a new sci-fi female cop show on the FX channel or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're really selling this.
Yeah.
The bundle reveal show.
That's funny.
But, and then, haven't they been doing, I know Lisa's been, like, every week she comes out with instructions about doing something. And so I don't, you know what, it might be, I think they might have made it a little too complicated.
I watched the first one. I was like, I don't have time to follow this.
I don't have time.
This is too much. Yeah.
You can overplay that stuff, and many people do, but we'll see how it works out.
It's definitely a cool idea, though.
So, I just don't... I mean, it's like QVC. I mean, why am I going to tune... Tell me again why I'm going to tune in to watch them reveal what products they're going to sell in the bundle?
I'm sort of at the point where I have to make sure that I'm outside doing something other than tuning into this show, because at a certain point, okay, maybe I'm curious, but when it gets to this level, I'm just, you know what, your punishment is that I have to be doing, what is the opposite of watching this show? I've had that with TV shows too, where it's like, Two and a Half Men has just gotten across the Terminator from simply bad to actively annoying, and I need to, what's the opposite of John Cryer? What is the opposite of...
They even have like a dashboard countdown widget, and
okay, now it just got set.
This is just like, who's doing this? I mean, okay, who's doing this? That's crazy.
There better be a new computer in this bundle. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, $12 for a new computer, but maybe, I don't know. Works well, you know, it, a lot of publicity.
It's working to some degree because I got, you know, 4 or 5 dozen tweets about it saying, hey, be sure to talk about this on, MacBreak Weekly. We're excited about this.
Yeah. From them?
No. These are just from my regular followers.
Really?
I even got several emails, and I don't ever remember even signing up for it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I haven't received anything from them.
Well, I got press emails, but I think that's just normal press releases. Yeah, yours were like as consumers,
Yeah.
That's not good.
The underscore DAVE underscore, for instance, just sent me a tweet saying, the big reveals tonight, Ustream, 8 p.m. Eastern.
They must have some multi-level marketing scheme going here. Why?
Somebody's got a lot of free time.
How do they enlist people to do stuff like that? Let me do a search on Mac Heist and see if somebody...
Also, they're counter-programming it against Idol. I don't know if that's a good idea.
Uh-oh.
Even Fox moved house to Monday nights for, you know, during that season. I mean,
I really shouldn't be.
I love House.
I shouldn't be mocking this, since in fact I did watch Dancing with the Stars again last night.
It was.
And I'm going to watch it again tonight. So there, it's working. I spent many more hours watching this crap than I'd ever want to.
I definitely agree. I've never.
But you have to watch live.
I've never watched Dancing with the Stars.
Did
ever.
You not watch it?
Well, I
when
don't
Waza
have actual cable, so I mean, I watched
you can't.
It post. But
see, you have to watch live because you can only vote for the half hour after the live show.
I mean, I still voted for him, but I couldn't watch.
But you only have half an hour after the live show. Oh, so you just voted for him without seeing him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he did great.
Haven't you guys ever heard of you guys ever tried TiVo, Leo?
You can't TiVo. No, you don't. You don't. If you want to vote, you can TiVo it. But then you have to vote without.
That's okay. Well,
you just have to somehow remember what time the show ends. I mean, if we're not for the marvelous adventure of Dr. Antonio V fast forward button, I would not be able to watch this show at all. It's like if I have to watch 90 minutes.
Oh, it's horrible. They dance and then there's 18 minutes of commercials and then they give you the results and then there's 18 minutes of commercials. That's the painful.
I want to be on this show. I want to dance with the stars.
You should be dancing. Can you dance?
Not dance at all. Like, it's embarrassing.
Really?
Yes, it is atrocious.
Well, what's weird is that Woz actually beat Belinda Carlisle to survive to the second round, which is like, I mean, she's in the Go-Go's, like she should be able to dance. I can't believe this, but she was in fact fairly wooden. Mm-hmm. Did you watch? You didn't watch?
I didn't, no. I watched the first one he was on.
And you know, our friend Steve created some controversy by slamming the show's producers and then backing off and apologizing.
Did he apologize?
He did.
Because he was miffed because he felt that the votes, they were paying no attention to the internet votes. You know, they never tell you what the internet votes are. Mm-hmm. They only kind of imply that there's some internet voting going on. Make sure you vote. They don't charge you, at least.
No,
like
I
Idol
voted
does.
All 13 times.
I did too.
Every time.
Both times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy because we have AT&T phones, because we have iPhones. So you just press, you know, type vote. You have to type vote 13 times.
You can vote on your phone and online 13 times.
And you
so
can email.
Great.
Oh, really?
You can email.
Yeah, they take email too.
Oh, geez. That's
so you call, you can text, you can email, and you can call.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't.
Well, I have to confess to never having voted on any of these things because I think that
this is my first time.
The final winners are already picked. But
well, this is what Woz was saying. He said they wanted us, Belinda Carlisle and me, to be in a dance. They wanted me to be in the dance off at the end of the show because it would be good for ratings. So they ignored what I believe was an internet vote tally that protected me from any chance of being in the dance-off. You know, I don't even want to make this. The rules are labyrinthine and Byzantine.
I think Woz should win.
Woz says that the producers don't tell you the votes. They ignore the votes because they really want to stack it the way they stack it.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be, you know what? This will be the test. If Woz's theory is true, he will survive tonight. Because he shouldn't have survived the first night. He really is a dancing Teletubby. He does not. that's what the Italian judge called him. And it's true. In fact, at the end of his dance, the second dance he did, he lands on the ground with like a thunderous. It was like, Scott, if you or I did this, with this thunderous boom. He like falls on the ground and then goes up on his elbow and goes, and it was like, oh, that's awful. It's a belly flop.
I love it.
There's a guy someplace who's got a list of 7 million things that's going to happen to me in my life, and that's not on the list.
Oh, man. Yeah, you'd never catch me doing it. But if you wanted to do it, Justine, I think we would see to it that you won.
That would be a lot of fun, but I'm telling you, I can't dance.
Well, this is a big step forward. I mean, they've had their first geek. I would imagine next season it'll be the internet celebrity. And who's a bigger internet celebrity than I, Justine?
Wired did an article because there was twitter.com/votewoz and I think votewoz.com. Yes. They have like the whole website dedicated. Yes. And they interviewed the guy that did the site. And he said that I should be the next Dancing with the Stars.
Well, he's in our chat right now watching. He's obviously a fan. I don't know which chat he's in, but I'm told that he's in our chat.
So hilarious.
Yeah.
I said, well, why should we settle for less than the best? We should put a team on The Amazing Race. Now, that's the reality show.
Oh my gosh,
with your dignity over there. That's the greatest show ever.
And we could win that because we're geeks.
Exactly.
Just as long as I can do the part that involves nothing but sitting behind the computer, I'll go.
Well, no, see, Amazing Race is exactly right for people like us because the people who fail, like for the first three shows, are the people who don't read the directions.
It's pretty straightforward.
You know, we are the people on tech support who said, okay, and so I suppose you did shut down before installing. No. Is that important? Yeah, that's actually step two in the instructions. It won't work if you don't shut down before you install.
We were supposed to
walk from here to the checkpoint?
What?
Yes. As indicated by step three that said, walk to the checkpoint.
Well, I'm watching
tonight.
Oh, is
that what that meant?
I am watching tonight because this is how they get. This is really appalling.
Well, this is terrible. I can barely again. I love Woz and I want to see him and I do DVR it and watch it like on DVR. But I can't do this for two nights, man. This is such an awful show. It's a horrifyingly bad
show. And they get
show.
You for two nights. They get you money and Tuesday because they do the dancing Monday. And then Tuesday, someone will be voted off. They draw this thing out appallingly.
This is the sort of show that would have worked great in 1974 where there were only three channels and no ability to record anything.
Well, we all vote. Like vote for Woz tonight, right?
Vote for Woz.
Vote for Woz.
And that's really all there is to it.
Did I vote last night? I forgot to vote. Oh, shoot.
But you can still vote online.
What kind of
I
fan
think you only can
you
vote for half an
until
hour.
Noon. No, until noon.
Oh, until noon you can
day.
Vote?
So abc.com, everybody get there. Vote.
Okay, I'm
going to
vote. It's like go.abc.com. That's the other Something. Thing. These guys got, you know, you cannot remember the URL. You have to Google Dancing with the Stars to get their website. It is so pathetic. they can't, you know, could you get dancingwiththestars.com? No, that would not be a corporate, within commensurate with our corporate policy.
It's like abc.go.primetimedancingwiththestars, blah, blah, blah. What is
it's
going
ridiculous.
On? I just want to vote.
So where do I vote? Okay, vote.
There's no geocities.com in there.
Might as well.
All right. You guys, would you take over the show? Because I got to vote. All right. Story number two. Get ready to get irate. Steve Ballmer says the tide has turned against Apple in the computer market. Speaking at a conference in New York on March 19th, Steve Ballmer was asked about the momentum, the big mo, that Apple has experienced in the desktop and notebook computer market. We've got the proof. We've seen the results. The Microsoft CEO quickly jumped in to correct that impression, alluding to more recent data showing Apple's growth taking a hit. Then he said something that could single-handedly re-fan the flames of the Mac PC rivalry. Are you ready, kids? What voice should I use for Ballmer? Something really annoying.
Something like...
Go ahead. Yeah. You do it. Apple gained about 1 point, but now I think the tide has really turned back the other direction, Ballmer said via webcast. The economy is helpful. Paying an extra... Oh, this is the Apple tax that Microsoft's been hitting. Paying an extra $500 for a computer in this environment, same piece of hardware, paying $500 more to get a logo on it? I think that's a more challenging proposition for the average person than it used to be.
Microsoft spokesman issued a press release saying, "We're sorry, Grandpa got access to the computer when he went to
So remember that we talked the other day about the fact that Bill won't let Melinda have an iPod or an iPhone or an iMac. Yeah. So, Business Week.
She can have a turkey vomit Zune anytime she wants.
Well, exactly. Business Week's editor in chief Steve Adler asked Ballmer if he owned any Apple products himself, a secret iPod maybe. No, none. I don't. My sons don't. My wife doesn't.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
You're talking to a guy though whose dad worked for Ford, and once Ford sold Land Rover and Jaguar, we're selling the cars to get Fords. So you may have a weird outlier in me.
Those poor deprived children.
That is pretty harsh.
I understand he uses Microsoft Live Search for all of his searching, too. He never uses Google at all.
You know, that would be a curse to have to use Microsoft Live Search all the time. That would be such a curse.
I know some of the people at Microsoft, and it's surprising to me. Some of them are brilliant. Some of them are really cool. Some of them are really trying to work on very, very cool stuff. They don't get the credit they deserve. That said, there ain't enough money in the Microsoft treasury to get me to be an all Microsoft guy.
Well, how about being an all Apple guy? Are you an all Apple guy?
Well, that's just because that's the way to be.
Okay.
It's funny. Actually, Intel, they sent me a Dell to test out.
Yeah.
I felt like I just entered this whole new world. Like, I mean,
what do you think?
I really,
you like it?
It's pretty quick. I'm not going to lie, but I could never go back.
Is it running Vista?
What's that?
Is it running Vista?
Yes.
Well, then that sort of seals the deal, doesn't it?
I mean,
you guys are such bigots. God.
Let's just say I'm a Mac user for life. We're just going to put that out.
You know, wait till you see Windows 7. Windows 7 is not so bad. I'm running it on MSI Wind and on a Dell Studio 16.
My favorite part of Mac Break Weekly, where we defend Windows.
Well. Hey, the Windows guy defends Macs, so.
Now, here's the thing, Leo. I know that you have to deal with a lot more Windows people than Mac people because the radio show. I mean, let's face it, more people own Windows than Mac.
Oh, yeah.
But I hear this I've known you for a while, and I hear this frequently, like, well, wait till Windows 4 comes out. Then they're really going to...
That's true.
Yeah,
never
Windows 5, that's going to be... Windows 6, Windows 7, that's going to be the ticket. We'll be hearing this from you when it's Windows 39. I promise. Really?
I think Windows 7 is the first version of Windows that a Mac user would like. That's my supposition. We'll see if I'm right.
I really want to try out, what was it? It was the Microsoft Wordsmith, the thing that you sing?
Songsmith?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so you need Windows for that.
The weirdest app ever.
It's awful, but you need Windows for that.
I want to try it. So I'll be writing my review on that soon.
Isn't it funny? It's like, well, if you want to run Final Cut Pro, you need a Mac. But if you want to run Songsmith, you need Windows.
You do.
There you go.
And
see?
Actually, in the commercial, they used a Mac for it. They just covered it up. We won't tell anybody, though.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
Speaking of, has anybody seen that new Adamo? Or
I haven't
Adamo
seen it in
or...
person, but the Adamo, the pictures are beautiful. It's basically a...
Is that designed to be an air killer?
Yeah, I would say so. It's $2,000, a little more than the air.
So my question is, why would they do that given the fact that air sales are so slow?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Once the air starts heating up and getting warm by doing anything, it's useless.
Yeah, this is more powerful than an air. It's a little bigger. It's a little thicker. It is metal, brushed aluminum. It's a luxury laptop. What it is, I think it's an acknowledgement by Dell, contrary to what Steve Ballmer says, that there is a market for, still today, there's some taste for more expensive, luxury, higher-end computers. So they're looking at Apple's market. I don't know if their Air is specifically the Air. Really, maybe more aimed at the MacBook Pro market.
It actually looks kind of nice. I'm looking at it right now.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah. Dell's been talking to me about this for a few weeks now, and they're supposed to be sending me one soon. There are people who don't like plastic, and there are people who don't like big gaps in the design where the battery doesn't quite meet the rest of the body quite correctly. So I don't think $2,000 is a ridiculous amount of money to spend for a notebook with real performance, and that's really going to be the difference. If they're essentially selling a $900 laptop for $2,000, which in some ways is what Apple was doing with the Air, they're selling basically a $1,300 MacBook nothing for $2,000. Then it might be a pretty nice machine. I'm looking forward to getting it.
Adamo, Adamo by Dell.com is the place. And you see how they're selling it. They're selling it with models and, you know, very fancy, artistic type people. It says, prepare to fall in love. Discover Adamo.
Adamo. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's a great message for these trying economic times when 7,000 people show up for 12 firefighter jobs.
Well, but that's what Apple's doing too, isn't it?
I think Apple's toned it down. If you look at the new commercials, they're more like, for instance, touting individual aspects of the product line, like its green nature, going away from the luxury stuff. I don't think they've ever really so much touted the luxury side as they have, you know, internally said, well, we do try to make higher-end products. But I think anybody that's going with a purely luxurious style marketing campaign in this economy is going to get a little blowback.
Well, I think we're just seeing part of it. I mean, this isn't as ridiculous as I think Asus has a line of Lamborghini notebooks.
Yeah,
it's Lamborghini, where it's they make a big point of how it's the exact same Lamborghini paint. It's got the Lamborghini badging, and it's this ridiculous amount of money for this notebook that looks kind of cool, but it's essentially a yellow notebook. Again, it depends on if there's performance, if there is an aspect to owning this notebook that goes beyond, hey, look, I got a cool looking notebook, then they're in there with a shot. I mean, remember that one of the things that we all love about Apple is the fact that they do believe that a beautiful object can be the beauty of a design can, in fact, be a feature of a piece of technology. That's not just flash over substance. The fact that it is this slim and you can hold it in one hand and carry it around with you from office to office and put it inside the newspaper pouch of your notebook bag and not have to fill up the main compartment actually makes it more portable, more accessible, and therefore more useful.
It is more like MacBook Air speeds, though. They're slower processors. It probably has more slots because it's, you know, more connectors because it's, you know, it's Dell. But
But for a lot of people, I mean, that's all they need. Like, looks like some people
Ethernet, HDMI, USB ports.
I'm just not willing to slap Dell about this again. It's weird that at exactly the same timetable last year, a couple of weeks before this conference in Colorado, Apple lent me the MacBook Air. And within 2 days, the concept sort of failed on me because I just could not make use of a one USB port computer. When I'm out there for an entire week and I've got pictures coming in, I got videos coming in, I got all kinds of storage problems. And at the same time, at this same time, I'm preparing this Dell Mini 9 netbook, and convincing myself that maybe I can actually leave my regular MacBook at home. I can rely on this $350 notebook for the entire week simply by virtue of the fact that it has three USB ports. I'll have no problems. You know, the keyboard is a little bit small, but I can take my cheap, dinky little full-size keyboard for when I'm back at the hotel room and typing furiously. I'll have no problem dumping all my photos for my camera and my videos and that sort of stuff. So, like I said, The proof is in the details. If this is a perfectly nice, useful little sub skinny netbook, then that might actually work out fine for Dell.
I just want to jump in real quick though and say, you know, it's $2,000. I have friends at the Professional Photographers of America watching us right now. Hi guys. If they're going to spend $2,000, those people are going to spend it on a MacBook Pro so they can do some Photoshop, some Aperture, stuff like that. I think that the MacBook Air is a little overpriced, but certainly it's going to be an easier sell if that's the area you're in, 17 something versus, you know, 2000. I am anxious to see how it competes just because I think anything that does compete forces Apple to take a longer look at what they're doing, which is a good thing for us.
I mean, I love traveling with my Air, but honestly, doing photos, video, I mean, it's like pulling teeth, and it overheats, and then I have to just kind of give it a little break.
Yeah.
It's slow.
That's not good.
For traveling, it is great.
Mine doesn't overheat. I love it for what I use it for, which is strictly if I'm going to be on a trip where I just want to send email and browse websites and write, mm-hmm. then I don't care.
I feel bad because I sent Abby to France with one, and she's complaining about the overheating.
Really?
Yeah.
But really? Mine never overheated.
If you're actually doing processor intensive, get one of those little, I think Belkin has a little cooling USB heater.
You put it under, it's got three fans on it. It plugs into the USB thing. Yeah. It sits under the laptop. That'd probably make a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. And get a USB little hub so you can not use your only free port to cool your laptop.
We've got more stories, including the 320 project, which I think is kind of interesting. And more. But before we do that, I do want to mention our sponsor, GoToMeeting.com. Now on Mac, if you use GoToMeeting on PCs, you'll be glad to know that you can actually start a meeting now on the Mac. You could always be in a meeting on the Mac, but now they actually let you start meetings on Macintosh. GoToMeeting is that great software that lets you hold meetings wherever you are. You know, you can start the conference call, say, wait a minute, I got to show you this. Go to GoToMeeting.com, no matter what computer you're using. Here's the meeting ID. You enter the meeting ID. You're in the meeting. Suddenly, you're seeing the PowerPoint. You're seeing the keynote. You're seeing the websites, the drawings. You can even collaborate together. Even if you're on different kinds of computers, you can collaborate together. It lets you travel less, get more done, close more sales. Great for training. Great for collaboration. And now free for 30 days. I want you to go to GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak. These are the folks at Citrix. I know them well, and they really do great stuff. GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak. If you've tried other online meeting software, perhaps you're just a little frustrated. I don't blame you. I've tried some of the others. They're awful. GoToMeeting makes it very easy to set up, very easy to use. One low monthly rate, so you don't have to worry about the number of meetings or how often you meet or how long you meet, I mean. GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak. Try it free for 30 days. No obligation. Just see what you think.
Maybe you should have MacBreak done over GoToMeeting and invite a few hundred thousand of our closest friends and see what you think.
You know, I've really been trying to think of ways I could use this in the production of a show. And I've given lectures with GoToMeeting, had a couple of hundred people in a room and given talks, and that's worked pretty well. So I don't know.
Do you think they could handle an audience our size?
I don't think so. Even on the stream, on the video stream, there's 2,300 people watching. I don't know. That's a good question.
We could do the famous MacBreak Weekly. What websites did we take down this weekly?
Let's not take down our sponsors.
Let's
actually
not.
Take it down right now by going, let's everybody go to gotomeeting.com/MacBreak.
Nice segue. You know, that's a pro. There you go.
And we thank
I just didn't
so
want
much.
You to have to like think this was going to be an easy spot. I wanted you to earn your money.
Yeah, no. Never is with you guys. That's fine. I like it. No, I like it. I like the peanut gallery. GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak.
The fire is expected not to burn out until tomorrow. And if you're burned out by high prices, head on down to Herb Lemke's Chevrolet Palace on page Route 14.
Two. That's why Paul Harvey would always, and I kind of respected this, he'd always say page two, and then he'd launch into the commercial. So that you know, he didn't do those segues, right? Page two.
Yeah, but the problem is he did it so fluently, you still didn't know.
I still thought it was.
No, I think the problem was that was actually printed to the bottom of the page. And he just kept reading.
He just read it.
Hammermill Bond 20 weight. Oh, wait a minute. That's the watermark. Sorry.
So any thoughts now that we've been living with the iPhone 3G for a week? Anything that we missed last week that you've noticed that is a big story?
Lots of sub-stories coming out. The AT&T did it again, leaked some information confirming my suspicion that there'll be a new iPhone in June.
You've been saying that, yep. They're also selling an unlocked version for, what was it,
$699? And it's not. It's actually not unlocked. It's just that there's no contract. It's still locked to AT&T.
So, it is
so how crazy is that? Yeah. It's locked. It's just it's just that you don't have a contract.
Right. Wow. Wow.
So essentially what you're saying is that you get the privilege of paying for your entire 2-year contract in advance. Oh, wait, no, it's not the...
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not paying for the entire contract, but I mean, how many months would you have to have it before you would, and drop it before that would be cost effective, like 5-6 months on a $60 a month minimum AT&T contract?
I think $699 is pretty steep, but maybe that's closer to the real unsubsidized cost of the phone. I mean, that's the point, I guess, is that, well, we subsidize it because we're going to get you for 2 years.
But the thing is, Andy, you still got to pay. What's the point of having it if you're not going to use it? And then you still got to pay the $60 a month to somebody.
You'd be better off.
If it would make any sense whatsoever for someone where they need to have an iPhone for the next 4 months because they're in this network or they're working on this project or whatever, it would now make sense if you need it for only 8 months, after which you stop using it. I mean, what I like about unlocked phones from other carriers is that they are willing to, they make it a very, very simple transaction saying, well, the reason why we're selling you this Windows mobile phone for $100 is that we know we were getting a contract out of you. If you're willing to pay us the exact cost of the phone, we're willing to sell it to you so that you can use it on any carrier. And the price can be kind of steep. I mean, I paid like something like $150, $180 premium on my Windows mobile phone a couple years ago. But the advantage is that when I'm in London, I can just pop a SIM in it and actually use it with whatever's going to be convenient.
That is a good thing. And I mean, honestly, like AT&T is okay, but actually making phone calls, especially to other AT&T customers, it's like a chore.
Do you get a lot of dropped calls now?
It's horrible.
I'm getting a ton of dropped calls.
It's getting worse. I mean, half the time I turn off 3G just because I feel like it's usually switching back between Edge.
Oh, you think that's
3G.
What's going on? Oh.
I feel like it. And then so it's been a little better now that I switched just to Edge.
I had to turn off Wi-Fi because the battery life sucks again.
Yeah.
They made it better with Tutu, and then they made it worse again.
No,
it's like, guys.
Yeah. It was like overnight my phone would be dead. I'd even have it plugged in and it would still die. It's like, is this possible?
Because it was better, right?
Yeah.
I'm not imagining things.
No, I know, because I even tweeted about it not too long ago.
Yeah.
That once I did the update, my battery life was
They fixed it, then
terrible.
They broke it again. You know, it's very strange.
I'm always interested in these stories because I'll hear people who I respect, who I know like are no dummies, and they're having horrible problems. And then I'll look at my own experience where I'm not having any battery problems. The problems of switching from 3G to Edge are usually a regional problem. But you know, I'm in Metro Boston,
yeah, maybe
in New England.
Maybe it's California. I don't know.
Yeah,
Do you make a lot of calls with your phone, Andy?
That's the rub. I've tried to lead it. Basically, my phone line is sort of a spam filter. If you call me instead of email, you fail. That means that you don't know me very well, and I'll have to really recognize that area code.
So you wouldn't experience the dropped calls because you're not on the phone a lot.
That's true. But I do use the 3G and the Edge enough that I really do notice when I'm suddenly on an Edge account or when I suddenly don't have access to the digital network. That happened to me once last week for no apparent reason.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's the same problem or a different problem and so forth. And you didn't notice a change in battery life going from 2.2 to 2.2.1?
No, not at all.
I definitely did.
Oh, I did.
And I'm using the original iPhone, and I'm still getting like all day long battery life, no problem.
Well, there's no doubt about it. The original iPhone
had better?
Had the best battery life.
Oh, that's interesting.
Ever.
You wouldn't expect that.
I know.
I'm never going to upgrade that sucker.
Well, there's new hardware coming, it looks like. So what else about 3.0 have we learned in the week intervening? Is there anything else that...
There's support for video in there.
Yeah, kind of. Well, you know, this is the, you know, this is the digging for buried treasure thing that people do. They look for screens, and there's a video screen.
The big deal is that tethering is absolutely, just like they said last week, tethering is definitely in there because people have actually gotten it working.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's a full feature. It's not like, oh, well, there's a hidden thing where if you tweak this and adjust this setting, then you can write an app that supports tethering. No, there is actually a just like you pulling down on a wall sconce in the castle, the wall spins around, revealing the laboratory. You know, if you change something to a configuration file, suddenly there's a brand new panel in the operating system that in the networking preferences that says tethering on, off, on. OK, cool. You're tethered. Good.
Wow.
I'm that's excited for search in mail.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd have to go to the actual, you know, logging into Gmail on the web just to try to search for a phone number or something.
Right. And that's been a real pain.
Yeah.
That has actually bothered me. Well, mostly I just use it as a phone. I do occasionally want to rely on it as an email, you know, provider for me. And I do wish I could search better. And I have to go to the web version of Gmail to find stuff, mm-hmm. which is kind of a bummer.
Well, it's the search has two really cool things about it. Number one, without anybody really knowing it, we finally have our improved application launcher that we've all wanted because it works the same way that Spotlight does on the desktop. So if you know that I want to launch Tweety, but it's somewhere buried on page 4, I can just simply tap search for TWE and it'll show up and you can tap it and launch it. What I want to know, though, is if developers can write their own plugins to support the search. If it only supports Apple's built-in apps and only on the terms that Apple decides that it's going to be supported, that's not as cool as simply saying, I know that I made a note to myself about a diner somewhere in Northampton. Diner, Northampton. Oh, yes, there it is. It's in the tasks manager, and here's where I put the address.
Yeah. Also, this might be super geeky, but the guy, Joe Hewitt, who did Facebook Connect for the iPhone and did the Facebook iPhone app, which is quite a nice app, has released a library called the 320 Project, because it's a 320-pixel screen wide. That people can use to create their own iPhone apps. It has a lot of nice stuff in it that's kind of for free, including a photo viewer, a message composer. This is only a programmer would be interested in this. Better text fields, URL-based navigation. You know, this is nice stuff. And this guy has done a great job with the Facebook. In fact, I like Facebook for the iPhone better than I like the new Facebook interface.
So do I.
I've no longer used Facebook on the web. I just use it on the iPhone because it's so much, it's like the old interface. But, you know, he really knows what he's doing. So he's done a nice job of this. This should improve, I think. This is the kind of stuff that Apple would have been nice if Apple put in their own SDK. But, in fact, most... you know, programming environments have people writing libraries like this. It's a sign of maturity in the environment, and so I think this is a good thing. It's pretty slick. Mm. But
have you seen VixML? Also,
what's that?
It's like kind of another interactive environment for the iPhone. Kind of
VIXML.
I know they were actually before they were supposed to have a contest, and I was going to be one of their judges to have developers creating. It's kind of like a...
Oh, you get tapping, shaking, tilting, swiping, pinching.
It's pretty cool.
That is really neat.
Aren't those the lyrics to Run DMC's new album?
The way to iPhone awesomeness. So this is for a... If you can write a web page, you can write VixML.
Yeah, so I feel like it's kind of...
Again, to make this, like it's a framework to make it easier. Yeah.
Like a sort of... Those, you know, back in the day when GeoCities had your wonderful templates for your websites, you just kind of pick your templates and drag and drop things everywhere. But it's just kind of like a drag and drop iPhone app.
I'm trying to figure out, is it for apps or is it for the web?
It's for apps.
So it's, okay. So for instance, they have an app called True Flirt that's powered by VixML.
One of my favorites they have was for Valentine's Day, they had little candy hearts. Like in a little box that you could shake.
Yeah, because it's
completely pointless, but...
Easy to write.
Yeah. but people were downloading it.
Because you can, yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, that's the kind of thing you need. Mm-hmm. I think it's more important even than the $50 million venture fund. Is making it simple to write applications and simple to submit them. And I think Apple's doing a pretty good job. They claim, at least at the launch of 3.0 last week, that they've sped that process up to down to a week now. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things you need to do.
And it's crazy because some of these developers are just like, hey, I'm a 15-year-old kid. I just need this for fun. Can you please check it out? Like, sure. And this is really, really good.
Isn't it neat?
It's amazing.
I think that's a very good sign. It's what Apple needs to do to succeed against the Palm Pre and these other phones. Is that, you know, there's going to be a Windows Mobile store now. There's going to be a store for the Palm Pre. There's going to be a store I can't remember. I guess, there's already a store for the G1 for the Android. So, I mean, this is what you have to do. You have to make it easy to make the apps so that you have more apps in there.
This is a rat hole, but do you think that the Palm Pre is going to save Palm?
I think they'll make them attractive enough that someone will come in and buy them and keep them running for a couple of years. I don't think it'll be the big mobile success story. I mean, I have my own opinions of the Palm Pre, and I think it's okay, interesting idea, and in a non-iPhone world, it would be really revolutionary, but as is, okay, it's a neat idea. I'm really surprised when I hear opinions from people whom I respect saying that, oh, Apple's in big trouble, this could be real competition. I really have to keep calling people and emailing people and getting more information because I just don't see what makes the Palm Pre on a user level or on a developer level anything more than an interesting OS with a couple of unique features. I just don't see it as revolution in any package.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. I mean, I'm holding off judgment till I actually have one in my hands.
Yeah.
You know, I think where the Android and the G1 went wrong is that the G1 hardware is so underpowered that it just feels sluggish compared to the iPhone.
Yeah, but the excitement that's behind it and all the developers is...
I agree. If they get some good hardware running Android, I think that's going to be a real challenge.
It really does feel like Linux done right,
yep.
If you follow, where the system of the evolution and the acceleration of how cool the features are going to be and how cool the software is going to be is just going to keep accelerating. That this year it's kind of cool. It's not something that I would even consider getting instead of an iPhone. Next year's apps are going to be even better. Year after that, I hope that Apple's still working on on iPhone 5.0 because I'm really keen to see what the Android OS is going to be like in 2011.
Yeah, yeah.
It's even like the app games are amazing. It's like they're porting over. I've seen like a bunch of like the games for Wii that they're porting over to the iPhone. I know like the price is right. Like I bought it for Wii. And then...
Well, like what? What game? I'm still playing that hairdresser. Oh, The Price is Right. I thought you meant the price was actually right.
No, the Price is Right game.
The game, The Price is Right.
The actual Price is Right Wii game is like $50. And then why would I pay that? And then I bought the game for $5.
Wow.
Same exact game.
See, so I'm still playing Sally's Salon since the last time you were here.
I beat it. I got to Hollywood and now there's...
You done? Yeah. Like you're like, you become like a... Jose Bear, and that's it?
Yeah, it just quits. I'm like, come on, man. I just spent like 5 hours of playing this game, and I want to continue on.
I want more.
Can I just figure out, there's something you can teach me. Where does one get the free time to play a game for 5 hours?
That's what I want. I'm in airplanes.
Airplanes. Yeah. Airplanes okay. Before I go to bed. Yeah. That's my...
And I know that because you Twitter before you go to bed, too, saying, I should go to bed. I really should go to bed. I'm going to go to bed any minute now. I'm going to go to bed.
I'm then playing an iPhone game.
3 a.m, I've got to go to bed. It's so funny. When I wake up, because sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night to see who's Twittering. And one of them is frequently Justine.
Yeah. The other cool thing is... Going back to the example of Sally's Salon, where she ends at Hollywood,
right.
Now having those in-game kind of paid level,
they do
kind of deal. That's going to get people because I'm going to be like,
you can subscribe now to a game.
I just beat this.
Yeah, I want more.
But you can pay $2 to keep
more.
On playing.
Yeah,
that's going to hurt the credit card.
No, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. One of the games I recommended. Pocket God a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my gosh, love it.
You get new levels every week, right? So there's always more to do. It's such a stupid game.
It's
but,
so stupid.
But there's always something new to do.
Like electrocuting the lightning.
Zzz,
little islanders.
That's
oh my
always
gosh.
Fun.
No, that game is great.
Well, I'm glad to know.
So pointless.
See, we have God complexes. We either want to run a salon or we want to zap natives.
Yeah.
That's it, pretty much. Yeah. All so our games funny. Have to be something like that. Let's see. Any other big stories in the news before we get to our picks of the week? You got a lot of them, Scott. Yeah, go ahead.
We should quickly mention that China finally gets the iPhone.
They didn't have it?
No.
They had it. Like a third of all the iPhones sold were in China, but I didn't realize it wasn't legal there yet. So that's one of the new countries, huh?
That's one of the new countries.
Wow.
Congratulations, China.
Do you think, Scott, that the next iPhone will have video?
I do. And I think it's a mistake. But I think that the extremely loud minority has probably got the ear of the right people, and that there's the cool factor drives the initial sales of these phones. Regular people mostly want them to be a telephone.
They don't need a video camera.
It's not the cool factor. Remember that Apple makes iMovie, and Apple has all these cool video distribution systems. If you have iPhone as a capture device, as a collection device, it makes iMovie that much more important and that much more imperative. There are very few people who really want to walk around all day with a video camera in their pocket.
Yeah, what if you could make a flip?
But wait! All this presupposes that you're going to have enough battery life, Andy, for any of this to matter. And you start throwing GPS in there, you start throwing video cameras in there. You know, I mean, at some point in time, the battery's going to say, "Help."
Okay, but there's this really, really cool and complex technology known as an off switch in the settings panels. That simply advises you that, hey, you're running. And also, if it would be possible to put a battery indicator of some kind. Oh, wait a minute. They did both of those things. I mean, I absolutely see your point. But, I don't really use certain features. I'm glad that I can turn them off and save battery. I almost never use Wi-Fi. I almost never use Bluetooth. Those things basically
they will save you a lot of battery. Yeah, that'll
right.
save
and
you a lot of battery.
And there are people who never use GPS. They keep that turned off. And that's the difference between people who legitimately complain that the iPhone is useless to them because they can only get maybe 3-4 hours of use because they're talking all the time. They're relying on Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS. People like me don't understand that because they get 2 or 3 days worth of work. I would happily turn on the video camera if, again, I'm just walking along and I see something just awesome, just like that classic scene from the movie where you just see this flimsy little plastic bag, like when the sun is low on the horizon, it's being just sort of like tossed around a little bit in an alley. And I was in New York a couple weeks ago, and I was just like that, saying, "That's just like that movie. Oh, it's so awesome. Oh, but I don't have a video camera. Damn it. Oh, man, I'll just sit here and watch."
Well,
it.
That's why people carry a Mino around, and I think if you had that kind of quality, in your phone, that would be awesome. I'd like to see a better camera in general.
Definitely. I mean, I use kind of a beta version of Quick on my iPhone.
Me too. And it's great.
It is great.
I mean, the frame rate's like two seconds.
But still, your battery, it's just like,
does it kill it?
Yeah.
I put it in one of those battery add-on cases.
Carry one of those around all the time. And
I use the one that has a light built into it. I can never remember the name of it.
Fast track.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the one I have, and that's a good one. I don't usually need to use it for anything but the light as a key light when I take pictures. But
see, if you had video and the fast track on there and that light, which stays on, you've got a pretty good solution there.
It's the power IV.
My point is, Leo, we're getting these things to the point where people are going to start complaining because there's no microwave built in. I mean, it's a telephone.
Oh, Scott, it's not a telephone. Hasn't been a telephone in years.
Have you ever turned on Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and GPS, made sure that the selectivity is set to maximum, and then put it on top of a Pop-Tart? Leave it there for about 20 seconds.
It's palpably.
It is a microwave after all.
Palpably warm.
I'm pretty sure there's a YouTube video where they pop popcorn.
Yeah, those are fake, but they're fun.
Still really funny.
They're really fun. They get four of them aimed at a popcorn, and there's actually a whole meme. But it turns out there's a hot side under
the table. Andy Griffith contingent here.
I don't need it, and I want a phone with big numbers and big buttons.
We just need a telephone so we can call Goober and tell him to bring over a gallon of gas for Aunt B's car.
I want one that can. You should make that your ringtone, Scott.
I would. I'm going. Would somebody send me that, please? Because that would be fun.
I thought he meant a ringtone. Says, "Oh, doggone it!
Goober.
What's that sound coming from? Oh, someone touch it! No! Oh, gosh!
That's what you need for your ringtone. I hear something.
I almost dropped my fly reel. It was so annoying.
So AT&T has confirmed.
Help me put another onion on my belt. The other three are baking me down.
AT&T has confirmed that they're going to get high-speed packet access up to 7.2 megabits per second. Twice what it is now. And they even say that sometime this year they're going to start delivering HSPA 7, which will be 20 megabits a second. And the main thing that this, the main point of this is that it doesn't require much hardware upgrade, that this actually can run on their existing hardware. Software upgraded the electronics to give them that kind of speed. Now, put a video camera in an iPhone. Quick. You know, you could be doing what we're doing here in a complicated studio in the field.
It's crazy.
And you, I think you, Justine, would use it right away.
Oh,
I could totally see you using that.
Definitely.
I mean, you were doing the Justin TV thing. This is basically Justin TV in your iPhone.
And I don't have to put a camera on my head.
Right.
Oh, boy.
That hat was kind of dorky.
Well, it was.
Kind of dorky. Apple's threatening podium or podium. If you say a podium, then you say they're threatening them because it's a pod. It's a stand for your iPod. I call it a podium. Yeah, pod, P-O-D is in the name, but Apple says you got to cease and desist using that name because we own the pod trademark. This is what happens when you have lawyers on staff, folks.
Yeah, they're going after Invasion of the Body Snatchers next for sure.
The potty snatchers. Oh, that's right. They were pods, right? Yeah.
Go.
They were pods.
Available in a range of fashion colors, no less.
It's actually a very good example of why we simply need some trademark law reform so that the need to defend your mark is no longer prevalent in case. The case law now says you've got to defend your mark, even if it's, you know, maybe a violation or else you can lose it. I think we just need to see that case law stripped out and have the courts come in and say, or at least the legislature come in and say, we're going to codify this in such a way that says you don't need to, you know, defend against every, in, you know,
well,
possible.
I mean, it's more complicated than that. You have to protect yourself against dilution of the term so that it doesn't become like Kleenex.
It's much more complicated. That's my point. It's too complicated.
Yeah. But you don't have to go right and left defending anytime somebody uses your trademark if it's in a different arena. If it's podium, well, come on.
Actually, Leo, there would be a lot of lawyers that would disagree with you.
I guess they're more aggressive, some of them.
Well, I mean, I own several trademarks, and we've had to do, you know, numerous interventions just because my lawyers advised me, look, if you don't, then, you know, right. the way it goes, you can lose the trademark, and those trademarks cost a lot of money, so...
Charlie Miller is a name that sends chills up and down the spines of Mac owners everywhere. Last year, he found a Safari flaw, was able to use it in the annual Pwn2Own contest. This is at CANSEC West, a Canadian security conference in Vancouver every year. This year, he did it even faster. The rule is, okay, you get a up-to-date MacBook with all the patches installed. You can tell us a link to click on, and if you manage to take over that computer, you win it and $10,000. He did it they clicked the link, and within seconds, he'd controlled the MacBook Air and won it.
Wow.
With a security flaw in Safari that he won't reveal. He says, these are worth money. I'm not telling you what these are, but that's where security flaw is.
And to be honest, it's not like he's going to be selling it to some sort of Russian syndicate. I mean, very correctly, if he's worked hard enough to find this a security flaw this glaring, if he wants Apple to hire him as a consultant to walk him through it, then that's certainly his prerogative. I hope he's one of those good guys, though, as opposed to just one of those Bond villain type of people.
You don't think he has some sort of kind of obligation? Many security researchers feel that they have an obligation to reveal it to the public, but to the company first.
I think that you do have a moral obligation. I think to, when you find a weakness, if you truly are a white hat instead of a black hat, you basically have an obligation to get this fixed as soon as possible. If the company that is responsible for fixing it is ignoring you and leaves it unpatched,
that's right.
Then you have a right to escalate.
There's some period of time, I don't know what it is, 3 months, 6 months, where you presume it. You know, hey, if I could find it, other bad guys are going to find it. They need to fix it. They haven't fixed it. We better reveal it.
It's kind of interesting. There are all kinds of these little hack competitions. Again, very legitimate competitions to locate and designed to locate and fix security holes in all kinds of browsers and all kinds of operating systems. But unfortunately, whereas if you discovered a flaw in, say, October, you'd be like, wow, I should really get the word out on this and make sure it gets patched. the way that since there's so many of these competitions out there, you know, but wait a minute, if I keep this in my pocket until February, I can definitely crack the system in 10 seconds, get the $10,000 prize, get the error, and then have them patch this thing. And, you know, you just got to hope that these people are the first people to figure this out, to figure out this weakness.
You want to know another adjective for these types of security consultants?
Yes.
FBI suspect.
Well, that's true. You can't now release it to the Russian mafia. Dino.
Syrian mafia. They're good, though.
They're good. They're okay.
They can keep it.
Dino Dizovi, who is another security consultant, he presented at the Source Conference in Boston, says, yeah, Mac OS X is a lot of fun to exploit. He says, heap memory is badly guarded. It's easy to discover where critical libraries are. He says there are flaws in various programs and system components allowing heap memory to be altered. He says, quote, writing exploits for Vista is hard work. Writing exploits for the Mac is a lot of fun.
Uh-oh. And he used to work for Microsoft, is my guess.
Oh, I don't think
so. And then he ended the commercial by saying, and I'm a PC. I'm Dino Dizovi, and I'm a PC. Yeah, you don't see that in the Apple commercials, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be
waiting to hear, though, about the massive viruses.
Well, there
and
haven't been any. No, you're right. The question is it because it's a smaller group of people?
Well, if we listen to Steve Ballmer, apparently it's not so small anymore. So where's all the, you know, where's the beef?
Well, Scott, who's to say that someone hasn't already gotten access to your system?
Well, I don't know. I just know that. Happening.
Everybody dresses up in a big supervillain uniform and takes over the big screen in Times Square and announces, "Ha ha! I now have all of Scott Bourne's critical information. You have 6 hours to figure out what I'm going to do and stop me from doing it."
That's actually what's really scary in the PC world is that there are, in fact, you know, estimates vary, but tens of millions of computers that are owned by bad guys, but the owners do not know that.
Yeah, what I'm really talking about, though, Andy, is the stuff like where, you know, the Trojan horses, the things where it's clear that your machine's been slowed down.
What's going on the PC is you don't know, Scott. That's old school thinking. You do not know. Saying that's happening on the Mac. I don't think there's any credible evidence.
I understand exactly what you're saying. We don't have a problem where you can't really trust websites because you think that there's going to be random people with random exploits and trying to load up your system with Trojans. But the problem is it does mean that, you know, Scott, you're a very successful and influential person. Stuff on your hard drive probably has value. There are times when I'm not exactly high profile, but there might be people who, if they want to own the machines of, let's say, 1,000 people that might have interesting information on their hard drives, my name might come up around 900, 950. I don't know. So all it takes is for one person to write a press release with a URL embedded in it saying, "Oh, we're going to be selling the MacBook Air that's completely compatible and Apple can't sue us. It's only going to cost $99. Here's a
click
link
here
to the
for
PDF
information."
Stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know that would be a bad day for me if I found out 2 years later that 2 years later it finally breaks that there's been this Trojan horse that's been.
If they break into my hard disk, all they're going to find is information I've been providing to the IRS for my stupid audit.
Is that still going on?
Oh, it's miserable. It's going to never stop. They keep saying, "Well, what about this?" And then they call in another year's worth of stuff. And then my favorite thing that happened, I won't go into this because I'll get in trouble, but they said, "We're going to rule against all your expenses for 2007. I said, "But you only asked for 2006 documents." And the guy smiled and said, "Yeah, I know."
What do they got against you? Are you a known terrorist or something?
No. It's just that, you know, it's just sort of like, you know, people don't sue people that are broke, and the IRS doesn't audit people that are broke either.
Good. Well, I'm safe then.
Quit it.
Man, dodge that bullet.
We will be working it out. I have lawyers and accountants. That's all they would find on my hard drive today. But I understand your point, and I am,
well, especially,
you know,
when you see like Charlie Miller saying, "Hey, look, I can exploit this. I can do this."
I do think that, you know, that some of this, I've seen some of this hype float around now for a couple of years. What my point was, I don't see evidence of, you know, massive takeovers of Macs and such, and maybe it's happening, maybe there is no evidence, but when I don't see the evidence, I still find it hard to be, you know, alarmed. There are no, you know, there's no known big, huge thing going on. And I, you know, I've learned from people like Andy how to protect my networks and such. And we go to basic, you know, the basic levels of protection. Everything's encrypted, and we don't do, you know, we don't do bad Wi-Fi habits like logging on to free public networks, etc. We've established a VPN here. So, I mean, you know, there's, but there, after you've taken a certain amount of reasonable, you know, precautions, I think you can move on.
Yeah. Well, and I think if this were happening in a massive scale, we'd know about it because people would find it eventually.
Right. Also, there are enough true white hats out there, especially in the Mac community, that if anything ever got out in the field, I think that word would get out really, really quickly and a huge community would arise to smash it down pretty hard. But it does bear remembering that it's not that the Macintosh operating system has been touched by the hand of God to be the most secure and infallible system out there. That a lot of the reasons why we don't have to deal with a lot of the mess that the Windows side has to deal with is that we are 8 to 9%. We are a fraction, a mere sliver of the pie. We're not an attractive and cost-effective target.
That's right.
And I do dread that day that I have to put virus protection on my computer.
I know. So we should just enjoy it now while we can.
That always rankles me when I'm setting up Windows machines. It really is like, you know, a protection. I know the Symantec and Norton and all these other companies that are legitimate companies, but you always feel like, nice computer you got here.
Yeah.
Be a shame if any viruses were to come in there, put in a keylogger. But tell you what, why don't I leave one of my boys here? It only costs you $100 a year, and we'll keep those things.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
the feared Irish, English, Australian mafia.
They're terrifying, aren't they? They're the worst.
My apologies to all.
They're the worst. I hate those guys. I hate them.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, what? So I'm giving you $70 a year for virus definitions for a problem that really should not be happening to begin with. Okay, that's fine. Good. Glad we understand each other.
You can now buy and rent films in high def on iTunes. I thought we could do that before.
That's so too.
I did too.
Me too.
So why is this news? This is March 19th, 2009, according to CNET. Customers can buy hit titles for $19.99 in high def. Yick. Rentals
maybe
before $4.99.
I know it's mail or something.
Maybe it's like an old. Alex Lindsay put this in here.
I know I've been downloading, of course, it's not the best show ever, but Gossip Girl, if anybody watches it, I'm a big fan, so I've been downloading that on iTunes. And when I download the HD, it also gives you the standard definition.
Yeah, I've been getting the Office in HD, and I get the standard definition
so
as well.
It's so annoying, though, because then it takes
double download.
Forever.
I know.
So I just actually cancel the HD, download the SD, and that's perfectly
well,
fine.
Well, it says here that. I did double check, and there is a press release on the Apple PR Wire from just about 3 days ago announcing this from Apple. It sounds from the press release that now it's the whereas catalog titles were available in HD, now they've gotten like the latest hits. Box office favorites, including Quantum of Solace and Twilight, and stunning HD in the iTunes starting today. So, yeah, they also want you to pre-order Quantum of Solace, apparently.
So, by the way, the reason they send you the SD version is because your iPhone and your iPod Touch and stuff like that. But just stick with the SD, as you say. I'm not buying HD anymore because it's fine.
Yeah.
Who needs it?
It doesn't even matter.
Both.
I'm like, I just want to watch this show once and be done with it. And if Hulu doesn't have it,
if it's
then...
Quantum of Solace, maybe, you know, I'm going to get the Blu-ray. Let's face it. I'm not going to download it. Anyway, let's take a break. Come back. We're going to get your picks of the week, ladies and gentlemen. So prepare them. Think about them. Cogitate while I tell you about my pick, or maybe Andy has a pick for audible.com. Do you have an Audible pick for us, Andrew?
I always have an Audible pick. If you want to go, I'll hold
so
it a band.
Good. No. Because, okay. You know, I do picks on all the other shows, so I'll let you do the Audible picking on this show. Well, let me just first tell people what Audible is, in case they don't know. How could that be? If this is your first time listening to one of our shows, you may not have heard of Audible. It is a, basically, think of it as an online bookstore filled to the brim with great audiobooks, performances, most of them unabridged of the great works of all. I mean, bestsellers, brand new stuff, thrillers, science fiction, classics, nonfiction too, history, science, business, self-help. It's all there at Audible, AUDIBLE.com. And if you want to sign up now for an Audible Gold account, go to audible.com/MacBreak. You try it free for 30 days. Your first book, you get the credit toward the book. Yours to keep even if you decide not to stick around. So it's kind of like getting a free book. That's why we like to give you a recommendation. And that's exactly what Mr. Andy Notko is going to do right now.
I promise all our overseas listeners I will not do anything approximating in English or Australian. That's one of the, you know, there are two things Americans do one is like start, you know, wars in other places. The other is try to do English accents.
Yeah. I can't tell which is worse, actually.
I don't like inspirational books. Every time I feel as though one second of at least one full day of possibility of joy in my life is sucked out of my body every time I see a new volume of Chicken Soup for the, you know, wallpaperer's soul or whatever. Because every time I see one of these inspirational books, I just imagine some guy like in a filthy T-shirt with pizza sauce running down the front, like smoking a big cigar, hasn't shaved in 4 days. Like, now, look at every sunshine is like God's rainbow kissing you with joy. There you go. Okay.
You should feel better now.
All right. Good day's work. Good day's work. That's worth $40. But there's a definite example I make for a really great series on NPR called This I Believe. There was a radio series starting in the 50s where they would approach like luminaries, famous people, and just ask, is there anything that you particularly believe that you think has influenced your life greatly? And the only rule is that you only have about 500 words to say this essay. You can't be negative, so you can't say, I believe that all Democrats are wrong. I believe that all Republicans are idiots because I, as the head of the Democratic Party. No, you have to be positive. It has to be about you. You can't use it to do anything else. And you would think that this would be a series of essays all about, I believe that the stars are God's fairy chain, and every time a wee fairy blows its nose, a baby is born. You know, most of these essays are just really, well, here's what I've been through in life, and here's something that I experienced, and here's things that give me pause to lean back for a second and just think for a moment. One of my favorite ones was from Penn Jillette, who was approached to do one of these This I Believe essays. And he decided to do, I believe, he wanted to do, I believe there is no God. But that violated the, no, you can't say you're against something.
You have to say what you do believe. Right.
So he did one of the most brilliant and thoughtful essays on what being an atheist means to him. I think it was exactly the sort of thing that it really proves the primacy of this sort of concept. Whether you agree with this belief, whether you disagree with this belief, you will definitely be illuminated because you're hearing a personal story about how someone thinks. And some of them do tend to be more up there in the clouds. But they've produced two different books of collections of these audio essays, some of them going all the way back to the 50s, some as recent as just a couple of years ago. Some of these are done by very famous people. They got Elie Wiesel, they've got some by Studs Terkel, they got some by, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt, John Updike, all those guys. But some of the most interesting ones are people from just average people that you've just never heard of, because they have their own website, and they just simply said, when they revived the series a few years ago, they just said, look, here's a URL, please submit an essay. If we like it, we'll have you come in and record it for us.
That's cool.
And it's one of my they do podcasts, and unfortunately they're ending it. They're bringing it to a close sometime in the next month or so. And so the easiest way to get it will be through these audiobook collections. But whenever it comes up on my playlist of freshest podcasts, oftentimes that's the moment where I have to reach over and press the pause button on the iPhone on my dash and just think about what I've just thought, wow, I've just heard, and how it's relevant and how I react to it. It really is just marvelous, marvelous stuff. So I hope I didn't insult people by saying, you know, if you don't like to think about nice things, this probably isn't for you. That's not what I meant. But like I said, if you're a right-thinking person, you've probably never even considered buying a Chicken Soup for the blah, blah, blah soul. This isn't for those people. This is for folks like us who just have an ability to think about the higher things sometimes.
I'm not going to say anything, but my son loves Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, but okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Someone gave me a copy of, again, something like, you know, Chicken Soup for the guy who's upgrading from SCSI to FireWire Soul.
That maybe is going a little far. That might
be
going
really
a little far.
It really was, you know what? I really don't think that when I look at a FireWire 800 cable, I'm going to see every link of copper as a different shining moment that I'm making from leap to leap across the stream of life. I think I'm just going to plug it in and see if the light comes on. You know, I mean, again, this is absolutely nothing like that. I almost never come across one of these essays where I'm thinking, oh God, what kind of cheese is this guy selling?
You're a cynic. Let's face it. You're a cynical man.
No. I'm an optimist, and I'm a great student of human nature. Like I said, my mission here is going to last at least another 200 years, and my final report will be most favorable to your continuing to exist as a colony.
Thank you,
again, I'm pulling for you guys, and books like this, I believe, really make me think you guys are going to pull it through in the long run.
This I believe. Andy Iannacco, thank you for your recommendation. This I Believe, Part 1 and Part 2, Unabridged, by Jay Allison. He's the NPR producer who does the shows. Really one of the great producers in radio. He's just
And even if they didn't use my essay, I still recommend them.
Did you send them one?
I sent them an essay, right? That, you know, I'm sure they get tens of thousands, but it was clearly
Andy, if you would like to read your essay at the end of this show, we would be very honored.
It's on a hard drive somewhere. I should record it just to
Would you please?
It up.
I would put it at the end of the show. Story time. What the hell does Iannacco believe? That's what I want to know.
I believe that the man at the video counter in Ellsworth, Maine, did not give me change for my $20 bill.
I believe
that I didn't give him a five, as he insisted to his manager. And I believe they were wrong to throw me out of the store without giving me my proper change. It's beautiful. It's inspirational. It makes you think. I don't know why they didn't take it.
It's focusing on the important issues in today. This, I believe, audible.com/MacBreak. You can get this free. As your first book, do give it a try. We love Audible. We know you will, too. And we thank him so much.
That went on so long, I forgot we were in the middle of an ad.
Well, no, that's the ad. Think of the ad. So people sometimes say that. They say, well, the Audible ad is so long. But really, the ad is actually short. It's 30 seconds at the beginning and the end of a pick.
I'm just kidding.
Pick is the really content. So don't think of it as an ad. Think of it as a moment that we pause to hear about a great book. Brought to you by.
And it sounds like a great book, but it gave me an idea for another book that should be done, which is, I believe, book titles that will never be printed.
Oh, that's good.
Such as Chicken Soup for the Soul and A Guide to Local Strip Clubs.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
You'd be so proud of my 14-year-old.
I believe
it. His first visit to Hooters. His first visit to Hooters.
I saw that. Yeah. I said, what kind of great dad is this
guy? I didn't bring him.
Takes him to Hooters.
I didn't bring him. It was, they were at the lacrosse game. One of the game was in San Francisco. One of the dads who drives a limo. Picks like the six kids up going to the lacrosse game in a stretch. They drive to San Francisco.
Oh my gosh.
The dad, now this is the undefeated team they're playing. They're 9-0. The dad says, if you win, thinking this will never happen, if you win, I'm taking you all to Hooters for wings. They won.
Oh my gosh.
They beat this undefeated team. So
yes, there was a certain amount of urgency to their play.
I think he did. I think he actually probably did inspire them.
That was so funny.
And Henry says, hey, Dad, the waitress sat next to me to take my order. I said, I'm sure that was a great thrill for you. He said, I couldn't see anything. The sun was shining in my eyes the whole time.
The sun or headlights. I don't know.
Oh, dear. I'm so embarrassed. So let's get to our picks of the week. Ladies first, Justine, what would you like to pick for us today?
All right. I've got two little treats for you. Teleport.
Teleport.
Have you used this before? Have you used it? It's an extension that you install, and it'll allow you to take control of all of your Macs on the network.
I've heard of it, but
I
have not used it.
You can drag and drop files between the computers, and in the actual preferences, you can just line up your computers, and you can just go from screen to screen by going to the edge of your computer, and it'll just hop.
Isn't that awesome?
Computer to computer. So, I mean, I have like three computers, and I actually did recently purchase a television to watch Hulu and my iTunes content on. I don't have cable.
I'm glad you got priorities.
but I bought
a TV to watch Hulu on.
Yeah. So I have one of my old MacBook Pro hooked
right
up to that.
Driving it. Okay.
Yeah. So I just sit. Actually, this is what I use my MacBook Air for, as a remote control.
Good
for
use.
My other MacBook.
Good use for that.
So I just go over and I use it as a remote. And it's amazing. So I have like three computers hooked up controlling from one. And also there's an iPhone app that you can use to VNC and control directly from your iPhone, your computers. So it's called Jadu, J-A-A-D-U.
Now this is a different program. So there's Teleport and there's Jadu.
Teleport is for your Mac,
right,
and Jadu is for your iPhone. So both are pretty amazing for when you're trying to watch TV from your computer.
She's the queen of remote control.
It's great.
If you use them together, does that mean you can teleport to the planet of Jadu?
It does.
I use a program that's a Windows Mac Linux program called Synergy. In fact, we're using it here on the Skype-asaurus so that I can have one keyboard and mouse control all four of those. It's very similar to teleport.
Yeah, it's exactly
but people
like
have
that.
Told me teleport is really, really cool,
oh,
so
it.
I have to give
and
it a try.
You can even use the copy and paste from
Yeah, that's
computer,
nice.
So it's
that's
amazing.
Really nice. One thing that this Synergy does that, but it doesn't do the drag and drop. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. You could take a file from one desktop and drag it over to the other Mac.
It's great.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That
Big
is
fan.
A nice feature. I really like that. Jadu, J, is it J-A-A-D-U?
J-A-A-D-U.
Double A, mm-hmm. D-U. And teleport. Two picks from Justine
Yay.
At iJustine.com. And now Mr. Scott Bourne. You know, we don't have Alex here to do a really expensive product, Scott. Maybe you'd like to take his role today.
Well, I'm not going to get near an Alex, but I'm going to get down around just under half an Alex. But first, I have to say, thanks to Twitter, I figured out what we missed on the HD story. It is that they are available for sale. Jeff Roy sent me a
they
Twitter saying
sale
it's not
before.
They were available for rent.
Ah.
But not sale. Thank
got
you,
it.
Jeff.
Got it.
My pick of the week is something that photographers will enjoy. I know this will come as a shock to you, Leo. But, you don't have to be a high-end photographer to like this. Millions of people sell things on eBay and post pictures on Flickr of little doodads that are important to their lives. And a company called ProPsych, which makes real cycloramas for the movie business, has got a product out called My Studio 20, which is a tabletop setup, 20 inches long, that gives you a real psych wall, one-piece psych wall, and a studio light with reflectors for $250. And I swear, it gives you like a little miniature photography studio. If you want to take pictures of watches or rings or glasses or bottles or things that you might, you know, sell collectibles, for instance, on eBay, you'd have to have one of these things to get really good shots. And it inspires me to think of all kinds of cool little miniature things I might start doing. We're going to play around with it using the Lens Baby. We're going to shoot some miniature stuff and see what we can't create. But I was really impressed. I just got it yesterday. I saw it at PMA and they sent me one. And I put it together last night. And I will say there's a little bit of assembly involved, and I'm not good with assembly. So if you're not either, you got to keep that in mind. There are screwdrivers and such that have to be applied to this device. But once you get it installed, it's pretty slick. And the one thing that these guys do that I haven't seen in some of the cheaper and similar products is they come up with some fill cards that really bounce the light around, and it helps you to get a nice exposure without what we call specular highlights, which are blown out and completely devoid of any kind of data. You don't want that in photography. You don't want anything going past 255 on the histogram, because that just means nothing's there. So to avoid specularity, they use a lot of fill, and it's really quite ingenious. So you can find their website. I think it's procyc.com, and they make larger versions of this as well. So that's my pick.
Very good.
Did I cause your eyes to glaze over?
Yes. Tell me again the URL.
It's procyc.com. As long as I got your eyes to glaze over, Leo, I know I did my job.
How do you pronounce procyc?
ProPsych. Psych is a psych wall. Is like a psych ramp.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, you're just a little slow on the uptake
today,
aren't you?
I'm a little slow, that's all. We're going to get to Andy's pick in just a second, and my pick, too. Before we do, I do want to mention... Actually, I want to tell you about this, Justine, because you're
What's
a big-time blogger. Do you know about Squarespace?
I don't.
Oh, I'm loving Squarespace. Squarespace is a blog engine you may not have heard of. Everybody knows about TypePad and WordPress.com and so forth. It's similar to those two in the sense that it's a hosted blog engine. But after that, just leave it all behind. I mean, this thing is unbelievable. First of all, you can drag. They have a bunch of beautiful templates. Okay, everybody has that. But you can then drag using Ajax stuff around on the template. You can add widgets. It's all very clickable. It will import your blog from any other blog host. So you can try it. It's a free 2-week trial. You can try it from TypePad, from Blogger, from WordPress, and some other stuff. You just import it directly in. You can see what it looks like. And then if you decide not to go with it, you can export it back out.
You don't have to give them a credit card, Leo. That's one thing I like about it.
No credit card needed. Just go to quick trial, squarespace.com/MacBreak. If you do decide to become a Squarespace customer, Use squarespace.com/MacBreak to get 10% off also. I've been blown away by this. Kevin Rose is using it now. Sarah Lane is using it now. We're moving our blogs over to it. And I don't want to even say blog because it's really a web publishing engine. They have an incredible gallery, photo gallery features. They have forums.
The widgets give you the ability to be like a programmer.
Yeah, you can do pretty much anything.
You don't have to know how to write the code to create a guest book. You just drag the guest book widget in and you got one.
Exactly. But if you have things like if you use Discuss, for instance, which I do, I said, well, I want to use Discuss instead of your comment engine. They said, no problem. That's one line of JavaScript. It's very simple. We'll just add it for you. It is really, I'm very impressed by these guys, and that's they've awesome. Done a great job. Squarespace.com/MacBreak. Try it for free. No credit card required. Take the tour. They've just got great stats, amazing templates, but, you know, I mean, just it goes on and on. Mark Echo's using it for their business site. I mean, it's very impressive.
And so it's hosted on their servers?
It's hosted, which means you don't install it on your server, but there's a real advantage to having it hosted on their servers. They use a very sophisticated, I was talking to them about this, virtual server technology that allows them to add capacity and benefit everybody instantly. So you never have to worry about being dug or slash dotted because you'll never run out of bandwidth on this thing. It's really awesome. Impressive what they've done.
You can still use your own URL too.
Oh yeah, of course. You got to do that. You can see we're working on my blog leoville.squarespace.com. We're just getting the templates down and then we're going to import some of the data in. But it's really really I'm really having a blast playing with it. The Anthony Castellana, who's the guy who created this, young guy, just as usual, it's usually the case, wrote it for himself, got some good ideas, got bigger and bigger, and now it's just a platform that I wish more people knew about. We're doing our best to spread the word. Squarespace.com/MacBreak. Give it a try. It's free for 2 weeks, no credit card necessary, and then use MacBreak as the promo code if you want to sign up. You'll get 10% off. Offer code MACBREAK. And I just love the fact that you can get that data in and out. Search engine optimization, all sorts of stuff.
This is really exciting.
Yeah. Are you WordPress?
I'm all WordPress, yeah.
So here what you can do is you could try it for 2 weeks, just import the data and just see what it would look like and play with it a little bit. It's really, anyway, not going to force you to. You got all your systems set up, but we're moving.
Do it now, Justine.
No, we're moving all our stuff over. It's very exciting.
Start smoking too.
My pick, speaking of blogs, and by the way, it's supported by Squarespace. Now, remember I mentioned Blogo, the blogging engine, or desktop client, I guess is the best way to describe it. But I have some good news from my friend Daniel Jalkut, who isn't, you know, he does Mars Edit, and I go back and forth between Mars Edit and Blogo. I can't decide which I like better. But now I'm liking Mars Edit because they just added the ability to support Tumblr, and I use Tumblr a lot. So now when I use Mars Edit to edit my blogs, I can go to my Tumblr blog and post there, edit there. This is something that's actually kind of hard to do on Tumblr. Editing your existing posts is not terribly easy. You have full control in just as if it were any other blog. And I'm using Tumblr for the, you know, the quick and dirty, you know, little pictures, not dirty. They're not dirty pictures, but I mean the quick posting of pictures, quotes, stuff that I, you know, not full blog posts. I love Tumblr for that, and this makes it absolutely super easy. I've been a fan of Mars Edit for a long time, and if you are a Mars Edit user, absolutely you want to get the upgrade. It just came out today to support Tumblr, and if you're not, you might want to give it a try. It's from Red Sweater Software. I think there's a dash in there. Let me just do a quick Google. Cool on it. Yeah, red-sweater.com/MarsEdit. Free 30-day trial, $29.95 if you decide to buy it or upgrade from the 1.0 version for $10. Very good stuff. Daniel's very responsive, too, and that's what's neat. It works with WordPress, Blogger, Tumblr, TypePad, MovableType, LiveJournal, Drupal, and Vox, just to name a few. And Squarespace, let me add that name.
I'm signing up right now, actually.
Are you? You're going to give it a try?
I totally am.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, yeah, let me know what you think of it.
I will.
Yeah, we have friends there. We can hook you up.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm sure they'd love to have you on their platform.
It looks awesome.
They would love to. And the thing is, I'm tired of running my own server. It's We have to run our own servers for this and other stuff, but for my own blog, it's like
it's a process. And then stuff goes down.
Stuff goes down. You have to worry about backups. I lost a bunch of pictures in a hard drive failure a couple of months ago, and it's still killing me. So I like the idea of having it hosted. As long as you can get it in and out, and that's the key. I think it's really important. You know, I was using Vox for a while. I couldn't get it out of Vox. I had to jump through hoops to do it. Finally, my friends, Mr. Andy Inutko with his pick of the week. Andrew.
Hello. All of us suffered a great tragedy late last year when an awesome and just absolutely standard video tool for the Macintosh called iSquint just up and disappeared. The developer, it was a great free tool. It was exactly what you needed to take videos you downloaded off the net or stuff that you ripped off a DVD and just quickly and easily convert them to whatever format you suddenly needed. Like if you needed a copy for your iPod or if you needed a copy for your third-party phone or just needed a really quick, simple version that you could throw up into a web link, that was the tool you used. There are other stuff like QuickTime Pro that will let you do it, but that's $30. And really, you just needed to use this once. Why spend $30 just to do this one tool? But again, unfortunately, the developer decided that he wanted to get out of the free software business. And not only did he, and which is his prerogative. I've always thought that he didn't really get into details about why he pulled it, but I have to assume that it was a decision that he made out of a desire to improve his life. And we can't begrudge him for that. But not only did he stop, he didn't just stop supporting it. He just actually pulled all the binaries off the net, so you couldn't even download the last edition. But he was nice enough to release the source code to sourceforge.net. And just last week, I think someone released what I think is going to be the new iSquint.org, an app called VideoMonkey, which you can download from VideoMonkey.org.
Oh, I pray you are right. I miss Visual Hub.
Yep, and it's not a direct clone of iSquint and Visual Hub, but it uses a lot of the same code. But the great thing is, it's exactly the same sort of philosophy. It's a free one window, very simple video converter that you can just drag two dozen QuickTimes or two dozen different video files of all kinds of different kinds into the window. Click one button, go out for waffles. By the time you come back, and you know your parts of your Mac are now a puddle of attractive plastic on your desktop. All the files have been converted and it's been done exactly the way you want. It's not one of these like Adobe Master Edition suite power tools. It's a one function tool that does exactly what you want it to do, and it does it for free. Awesome.
Now I noticed this point one. Is it pretty reliable?
It's pretty reliable. I was using it over the weekend to, once again, do the classic thing where I always, because I use my Apple TV a lot, and because I've got like gigabytes and I've got like almost a terabyte of movies on my Drobo on the network, I always rip all my DVDs at the absolute highest quality, highest bandwidth that I can get them at. But when it comes time to mix a version that I can play on my iPhone, I don't want to take up 2.5 gigabytes of space. So I used to use iSquint all the time just to say, well, just rip me a really quick, you know, 480 by 320 or something version of it. So I converted about like a dozen movies over the weekend. And the selling point of this sort of tool has always been you just drag it in, click a button, come back later, and it's done. And that's exactly what happened. Worked just fine.
Wow. Video Monkey, it's about time. I've been waiting for... Now, it looks like he used a lot of the Visual Hub code, which was open sourced, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. Again, before taking it all down, he did release his project files, I think, to sourceforge.net. So, like I said, it's not like the exact same tool rebranded with a clip art of a monkey on a tree. But the way he could have screwed it up is by not getting the philosophy of the tool. And this is exactly, he did exactly the right thing with it. It's a really nice little tool. And I hope he keeps developing it without adding a second window, shall we say.
Now, help me download it, because I'm downloading it. It's a dot package, and now I don't know what to do with that. It doesn't want to open. Oh, there it is. Oh, it did open. Okay.
This is exciting, because I still have a copy of Visual Hub that I use
for
almost everything.
Yeah, I packed it up. You know, he gave instructions for packing it up, so you can keep it.
Yes.
But it'd be nice to have something. Was it running on FFmpeg? For some reason, I think it was.
Yeah, The secret of this software was that there's a whole bunch of libraries that work with standard Unix and Linux and Darwin video conversion that are command line tools. And this was the awesome visual front end to all those tools. It's not like he brought like millions of dollars worth of code from alias.com to do all this stuff. But it just gives you a hint as to what all the power that's available in the open source libraries. You're just waiting for somebody to create a version that the humans can actually operate.
It's a front end. So it does look at least as simple as Visual Hub in terms of the drag and drop. Can you queue and queue stuff?
Yep, you can just drag multiple things. It's exactly the same way. Just drag multiple things into that one window. Select your settings. Now, I think that when I'm looking at things that mark this as a 0.1 version of anything, I think the fact that the quality settings is one big slider that goes the entire the window, that's exactly the sort of thing you want to refine as you keep, you're happy, you got the thing working, it's successful, and now you're really excited to get it to actually release it, but then like version two, you think, ooh, wow, I really should have, I know I wanted to go to bed that night, but maybe I should have just waited an extra day.
Hey, it at least has the menu where you can make it for all Apple devices, iPod, iPhone, iPod Touch, or Apple TV. And it looks like he's planning to do it for Xbox and PSP and Wii and all those other. That's great.
No complaints of any kind. It is exactly right. And it's free, which is a great gift to all Mac users everywhere, because this
much
is
needed.
This is almost a critical tool. As all of us get more dependent on digital forms of our media, and all of us keep acquiring new devices for watching our TV shows and watching our movies, if you don't have a tool like this, man, you can get by without it, but life is so much better with a tool like this.
And there have been some other attempts at this. There's Video Evangelist. Somebody's reminding me. DigWorks is reminding me in the chat room, or DigiWorks. But this one's not free. It's $10. I'm gonna Video Monkey. It is. For the win, as they say. Well, thank you, everybody. We thank you for being here. Andy Inocco is at the Celestial Waste of Bandwidth, COWB.com. And he's also at the Chicago Sun-Times. Yes, he's one of those ink-stained wretches you hear about, the endangered species.
Ink-stained wretch. That's how my buddy should be described.
You and I.
It was fun. Scott Kurtz at PvP had these really great T-shirts at Webcomics Weekend last week. I think you can still order them from PvP online, where like in the exact typography of like a New York Post headline just says, "I'm killing newspapers." And it's all print by reading webcomics.
I like it.
I got to make sure I don't wear that like when I meet with my editor.
Newspaper killer Andy Inocco, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a guy who only kills bits. That's Mr. Scott Bourne at scottbourne.com, which have many, many different photography resources there. His aperture workshops, chance to win. Are you giving like a drobo a day away?
I gave away 11 Drobos this month.
You're
one more to go,
man.
On March 3rd.
You're mad.
Giving away Lens Babies, giving away Drobos. What happens is I just realized that we don't have enough space here at the studio, so I just give stuff away.
You mean you're not being given these by Drobo and Lens Baby?
I'm just kidding, Leo. I'm kidding,
okay,
Leo.
I was going to say.
Well, what happens is the UPS guy drops off 4 or 8 or 10. I go, okay, now what I'm going to do? I got to get rid of them.
I got to get them away. We're blowing them out.
I keep telling Scott that, someday, like, Drobo is going to thank him for buying so many Drobos by making a special one-of-a-kind one that's like the shape of a hexagon with like a little dome top, so that if, as they are guessing, he really does want to build an igloo out of Drobos, he'll have that keystone he can drop on the top as the final piece of it.
If that's the plan...
By the way, something really kind of cool and exciting. We're just experimenting with this as an idea. This is sort of like a beta hush-hush idea, but we'll tell a few hundred thousand of our friends. We're thinking about maybe making a special edition Drobo available with some of my photography on the faceplate.
Oh, that would be cool.
So it's called Customizable Drobos. Now, I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off, and I hope they don't get mad at me for telling you that. But I'm telling you that because I think it's so cool that people should probably like give us some ideas for how we could pull that off if you want to do it.
You should do it like U2 Limited Edition. Not only does it have a custom art, but you could also give them a library of like some of your greatest photos.
Ooh,
just for like wallpaper use.
It's the Scott Bourne Limited Edition Drobo.
Hey, this is starting to really pan out. And the next thing you know, there'll be some sort of Beatles iPod coming with it.
No, that couldn't possibly happen.
And it should be able to shoot video, Scott.
Yes, ScottBourne.com, BOURNE.com. That's where you'll find it.
Or Scott Bourne on Twitter is easier if it's some people.
A lot of people are Twittering Scott these days.
And Leo, you have like 100,000 Twitter followers. I did not know that.
Well, let's not get started on Twitter. I get so much hate mail when I use the T word.
I'm sorry. But you have like 100,000 Twitter followers. That's pretty cool.
I know.
That's up there with like the president.
No, you obviously haven't looked at the list lately.
I haven't.
The president has 500,000 or more.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Twitter has been an explosive growth.
See, I'm a little bit disappointed by that because I have 16,000-17,000 followers, but that's by old-fashioned door-to-door canvassing. I have never like gotten I've never gotten a hit TV show saying, "Hey, NBC marketing says follow my Twitter feed."
It's crazy. It's like you watch E, you watch any talk show. It's
everybody's
like,
doing it. Jimmy Fallon, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, I did.
That's what broke up Jennifer Aniston and what's his name.
All right, all right, all right. I guess we have to do the Twitter story. I wasn't gonna do it, kids. I really wasn't.
It's my fault. Everybody sends me the hate mail anyway, so go ahead. So
Jennifer Aniston. Now, you know, I just saw her cover on GQ. I don't know how anybody could ignore Jennifer Aniston, but apparently John Mayer is kind of like not is ignoring Jennifer Aniston. And she's, you know, he says, "Oh, hon, I love you, hon. I'm busy. I'm in the studio. I got to record. I'm busy, busy." She reads his Twitters. And apparently he's got a little more time than she admits to. He's Twittering away there, going out, having fun. She broke up with him over that. That's would you do that?
Hilarious. Yes.
Yeah.
You lie to me and then I read your tweets and I find out you're not where you're supposed to be.
It's like, John, Twitter, public. I bet you Jen is actually a follower of yours.
I think some people tend to forget that.
I think people forget when they Twitter that definitely. Others are reading it. In mm-hmm. fact, I know that when I read some of the things people put up there.
That's so true.
Well, I wondered that myself as I read your story of your 14-year-old son's trip to Hooters.
What? That was public? No, I don't tweet very much anymore, and so I'm just I'm putting, you know, comedy bits up there is my new thing. I'm going to just put comedy bits. I want to learn to write comedy by using Twitter is my new thing. I'm going to write a book. Using Twitter, anything that says using Twitter too, you're going to make money.
So, crazy.
Anyway, enough of that. Justine's at justine.com. Is that the best place to go for you?
Yeah, forwards.
It forwards?
It gets to where forwards. You need to be.
But, you know, it's also Mommy Pack My Lunch. It's also Tasty Blog Snacks.
iJustine.com at forwards. It gets you where you need to
be. She's on TV all the time now doing those Mosey ads.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
That's good. Yeah. Is that was one of your goals in moving to LA is to do commercials and stuff like that?
It wasn't really a goal. It was just kind of like if it happens, great. I mean, the weather's nicer in L.A. Everybody seems to be there if you need to take a meeting. So it's been working out pretty
She's
well.
She's talking like L.A. type
so I'm
now.
I'm excited.
Take a meeting.
She's taking meetings. That's neat. Well, I'm glad you come up here once in a while to visit.
It's fun.
It's so nice to have you. Petaluma?
Well, San Francisco. But I was going to say. This is such a cute little town.
It's a cute little town.
Really
That's the
is.
Most you can say about it.
It's great. I like it.
I'm Leo LaCorte. Don't forget.
Number one vacation destination in California.
Twit.tv.
When you're on your way to San Francisco and you really need to pee, swing by Petaluma.
That's what Justine did.
I did.
I read your tweets. Sorry. You think I'm not following you. I know what's going on. I'm reading your tweets. Twit.tv is the website where you can follow us on iTunes. If you want to download any of our shows, we've got dozens of them. Just search for Twit in the iTunes store. And we now have a new site called TwitPicks, twit.tv/picks, where we take some of the things that we mentioned on the shows, including many of the things we've mentioned on the shows, like, let's see, Andy Anako's iPhone fully loaded book, perhaps. And we highlight them there for your entertainment edification. Great place to go to see what some of the things that we have picked in the past on these shows. twit.tv/picks. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time. Another Mac Break
is broke.